This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. I enjoy discovering and sharing real-life moments of inspiration from everyday people. And this show is about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives. And look, and if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good.
Everybody, welcome to an all-new episode of TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. Hey guys, real quick, do me a favor. Don't forget to visit, subscribe, and share. I like our YouTube page. That's Tell Me Something Good with a capital T. And as always, I want to give a huge shout out to my biggest supporter, my biggest fan, my lovely wife, Nicole. Hey, girl, how you doing? I know you're watching. I know you're listening. Man, I could not wait for this Thursday to get here. And I know I say that each and every week. I do, but I mean that. And I say that because every time I show up, you keep showing up. Every time I get here, you get here. And I draw energy off of you. So thank you for bringing that energy. I appreciate each and every person. And whether you're listening to the show for the very first time, the very first time hearing my voice, and whether you're in Canada, maybe you're in Guam, maybe you're in the Philippines, maybe you're in South Africa, maybe you're in South America, maybe you're in Portugal, wherever you are, let me take this time to tell you, thank you for tuning into this global podcast, TMG, Tell Me Something Good. I'm so glad that you are here, and you are going to be glad also. Man, let me tell you something. Last week was Thanksgiving, and I know each and every one of us got something to be thankful for. I know we do. We sat around the table with friends and families, and maybe you ate your favorite Thanksgiving dish, your favorite Thanksgiving meal, or maybe you didn't get a chance to sit around that table. Maybe there were other things that happened in your life that never gave you a chance to have that Thanksgiving moment, and you find yourself listening to the show today. Yeah, you're going to find that everybody deserves that Thanksgiving moment. And that's what this show is going to help remind you of. Guys, listen, let me just say this to people who've been listening to the show for a while. I got something really special to tell you. Thank you very much, guys. You make the show awesome. Guys, listen, if you've been listening to the show for any amount of time, you know a couple of things. You know I love a good story, a good book. You know that. But you also know that this show is all about finding moments of inspiration in our everyday lives. So if you have an inspiring story that you'd like to tell and maybe come on a show, drop me an email at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. That's tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And he said, "Well, Travis, look, man, I know someone that has an amazing story that would be a great guest on your show, but I don't want to come on a show, man. I'm a little camera shy. What can I do?" Send in their information to tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And you can even remain anonymous if you'd like. But guess what? I have a great way that everyone can be a part of the show. That's right. here is a great way that who you are, no matter where you are, you can be a part of the show. Listen, all you have to do is send in your tell me something good moment. And what that is send in any moment that you're proud of. Maybe you got a promotion. Maybe you got a raise. Maybe, just maybe, there was a goal you were trying to meet and you finally did it. And maybe you could not find enough people to celebrate with you. Or maybe you did and you want the celebration to last a little bit longer. That's okay. Send in your tell me something good moment. That's any moment you would like to celebrate. Maybe you got married, who knows? And maybe you want to celebrate it a little bit longer. Send it in to us at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And what we'll do is this. We will read your tell me something good moment on the air. That's right. On the following show, we'll read your name and your tell me something good moment. And when we do, the entire world will celebrate your moment with you. That's right. We get a chance to celebrate with you. Can you imagine the entire world knowing your name and celebrating with you? That's awesome. Send it in to tellmesomething21@gmail.com. Guys, listen. I want to go ahead and play our sponsorship information. I want to get that out the way. I know the holidays are coming up. Listen up to the sponsorship information, guys. The information's in the chat. No, scroll is in the chat. Scroll up. Use your good finger. There you go. Scroll up. And if you're not watching this, listen up. And for the information, guys, please visit the sponsors. They will help you out get some good deals. Now, I know when commercials come up, most people kind of lean and go away. But don't go anywhere, guys, because we're just getting started. Walmart is a proud associate sponsor of TMG Tell Me Something Good podcast. Please use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomethinggood, and visit our sponsor. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link. Fanatics is the place to go for all of your officially licensed sports gear from your favorite sports and sports teams. Use the special link bit.ly/tellmesomething21 and pay a visit to our sponsor today. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link.
Breaking your phone sucks. Breaking your phone, then trying to sell it online sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online, only to find out that the money you'll only get for it sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online for peanuts, shipping it, and finding out that you got scammed sucks. Gizmogo makes selling your phone fast, safe, and simple by paying you the highest price for your device. And with Gizmogo's free unlimited shipping and price guarantee, millions of people are starting to sell on Gizmogo. Fast, safe, simple. Gizmogo, the best way to sell.
There it is right there, guys. Please visit one of our affiliate sponsors. The information is right there below in the chat. And if you aren't watching this, listen up because it will be paid again. Guys, I'm excited about this episode, and I know that you are. If you did not get a chance to catch the title of the episode or what we're going to talk about, today's episode title, guys, is The Next Steps, Rising After You Are Tired of Starting Over. The Next Steps, the Next Steps. And I know you're wondering, where in the world is Travis going to go with this one? Guys, sometimes taking the next steps can be difficult. It can be strange. I remember when I have a four, my wife and I, we have a 4-year-old grandson, right? We have a 4-year-old grandson whose name is Amir. And when he first began to walk, it wasn't pretty at all. My wife, you know, if anybody ever watched those old scary movies, horror movies, and Frankenstein, and how Frankenstein walked, and he kind of walked from side to side. And the first step, those first steps are ugly. And I look at him, man, and he had those that Frankenstein walk that's from side to side, and now he's running everywhere he goes. Sometimes, at next step, it isn't always pretty. It isn't always something you post on social media. It isn't always something you brag about, you talk about. It isn't always something you bring up at the dinner table, because sometimes those steps can be shaky and ugly and just nothing you want to talk a whole lot about. No matter where you're from, no matter how old you are, no matter what you survived, life will eventually bring you to a moment where something breaks. And you're forced to decide after the break who you're going to be next. Everybody knows that moment. Everybody has dealt with something in life where something has come up. You didn't expect it. And whether you saw it coming or not, it made you come to a decision. Who will I be next? Everybody knows that moment. Some of us met that moment in a hospital room with a health challenge. Some met it in a courthouse where you had to deal with some legal concerns and legal matter. Who will I be next after this? Some met it in a quiet apartment after the door clicked shut, when there's no one else around you and you don't have the people patting you on the back and you aren't getting the text messages, and that door closes and it's just you there by yourself and maybe your dog or your goldfish. Some met it in a loss of a job. Some met it in childhood. Some met it as early as yesterday. Some met it 5 minutes before this show. And here's the part that nobody posts on social media. The next step isn't always brave. The next step isn't always loud. The next step isn't always proud. Like my grandson, Amir, walking Frankenstein side to side, sometimes that next step is shaky. Sometimes it's embarrassing. Sometimes it's the step you pray that nobody sees. But nothing in your life shifts. Nothing heals. Nothing rebuilds. Nothing reclaims. Until you take the next step. And today, we sit with a man whose story carries that very same pulse. A story with his name on it, but a heartbeat that belongs to all of us. Guys, do me a favor. I want you to give a huge TMG welcome to our very special guest, John Stuart Hill. John, what's up, man? How you doing?
What's up? Oh, man. So honored to be here, Travis. Thank you so much.
Hey, John, I'm so excited that you're here, that you took the time out your busy schedule to show up. Man, I'm excited and glad that you did that.
Well, I'm glad I did, too. Thank you so much for inviting me, man. This is going to be great.
Oh, we just getting started, John. We just getting started. Man, John, we talked about the next steps. But a lot of times, John, when we talk about the next steps, we can't even talk about the next steps without first talking about the first step. Because I'm going to be honest with you, John, a lot of us struggle with the first step, and the next step is even tougher. So you don't arrive at the next step, John, because life gets easier. And people think that if you start taking the next step in life, oh, it's got easier. Man, I'll be 56 on December the 5th. I can clearly tell you, it don't always get easier. It just does not, man. So you don't arrive at the next step because life gets easier. You arrive there because life will corner you. It will shake you. It tests you. It will test you until you have to decide who you're going to become, John. And you've lived that moment more than you can count. I know you have. But this isn't just your story. This story is for you, the person who's listening. Guys, listen, this moment right here, right now, this is your invitation to stand, to move, to keep going, to take your next step, even while you may be wondering, what do I do next? So, John, let me start right where your story starts. Let's start at your first steps. When life kind of broke open underneath you, John, what was the very first moment that you realized I can't stay here and that I have to take the next step?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, most of my life, I had felt like I really was a big disappointment. I was raised in church. I don't know, there's probably a lot of us here that's been raised in church, you know, and we kind of heard all those sermons and, you know, I come from a Pentecostal background. So, I got to watch those guys running around the circles and running over the top of the pews. That kind of Pentecostal church, you know, but I also heard a lot. Man, I heard a lot of sermons on hell, you know, hellfire and brimstone, man. And if you don't live your life right, that's where you're going. You ain't getting to heaven. If you get there with a mark on your book, if you hadn't walked the way you're supposed to walk, then it's a one-way ticket down, you know. And so I lived most of my life trying to perform, trying to be that perfect person, do the right thing. It just beat me up, you know, because I set an expectation that nobody could ever live up to. I'm a very black and white person. So it's like, you know, here I'm hearing that even if I think something, it's just as bad as doing it, you know. And so how do you control these thoughts? And so as I'm going through life and I'm making mistakes, I just kind of have this roller coaster life with God, with relationships. Everything was because I was going through this roller coaster of, man, I'm doing it right now, to dang, man, I just messed up. I just ruined everything I even tried to do. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but I mean, I could be running good for weeks and I do one bad thing and it's just like I just wiped out all the good things that I ever did.
Yeah, it feels like you know? Just unraveled everything you did.
Yep. And so, you know, I'd go through these moments with God and I would go through these ups. And man, whenever it was up, I felt the presence of God. I had so many things, like God always was there. Even in the valley, man, he was there, but I couldn't see it because I was so geared toward performance that, mm-hmm. you know, when I was doing good, I could bring God closer. But as soon as I messed up, I started pushing away because I didn't want to bring embarrassment on God. I don't know. I know that's kind of funny, but I'm not going to try to be one thing and say I'm one thing and then I'm over here doing another thing. And that was my integrity. I really didn't understand it all, but that was part of being a person of integrity, is that you don't want to be fake. You don't want to be the guy that's saying one thing and then in the background you're some other kind of person, you know. So at the age of 42, I had already been through three divorces. Mm-hmm. I was in the Navy for 11 years. When I got out, I started doing little sales jobs or taking whatever kind of job I could get. Didn't have any real world experience. Mm-hmm. So my professional world never, you know, became anything. I was, you know, I was going to be, I got into sales and I sold Yellow Pages. And at this time in my life at 42, I was selling coupons in those envelopes, you know, those envelopes where those coupons come in, you know? And so I was selling coupons and I was living with my girlfriend because I was basically homeless. I mean, I just, I didn't have any money. I a couple of years before that was my last divorce, and I lost everything. It's like every time I thought I was getting ahead, something crashed and burned, and it was just that roller coaster, up, down, up, down. And here I was finally at that point where it was just like what you're talking about, those next steps. What does that look like? And at this point in my life, it didn't look good. I did not see good steps ahead of me. And so, you know, because of my upbringing, I wasn't going to commit suicide. I mean, that is the one way ticket down, you know, is if you wipe yourself out. That's what my mind was saying.
Right.
So I had been praying for 2 months. I was like, I really prayed for God to kill me. I was like, God, I want you to take me out. I don't want to be here anymore. I've messed my whole life up. I'm a big disappointment, and I don't have any education. I don't have, I don't have that many people I'm even affecting in this world. And so I had been praying for 2 months that God would kill me. And I know that sounds bleak, but the truth of the matter is, man, sometimes people take that next step.
Right.
You know,
right,
some people take it in their own hands and say, man, my life's not worth it. I'm taking it out.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm fortunate that I really put it into God's hands. I mean, I'm really fortunate for that, because my life wouldn't be where it is right now if it wasn't. So on that day in February, it was a freeze that hit Dallas Fort Worth. And I don't know if you remember that Super Bowl, man, we almost didn't have a Super Bowl because ice out here in the Dallas Fort Worth area. And so the roads were shut down, and I was outside smoking a cigarette, and I started coughing. And next thing you know, I'm coughing up blood. And so we made our way to the hospital. It was dangerous. You know, the roads were closed. It was icy, but we had to make it into the hospital. And they saw that my lungs were full of fluid. Now, I was kind of in good shape at that time. So I really, I didn't expect anything about this being a heart attack or anything like that. I thought, okay, I must have some kind of like bronchitis or something, because it was so cold and I'm smoking. I'm like, I need to stop smoking. But they said, so they brought me in, they saw that I had fluid on my lungs, and these fluids, they assumed was pneumonia. And so they admitted me. And later on in that night, the breathing treatments weren't working. And the doctor comes in, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, and says, you know what? This just doesn't look like pneumonia to me. There's something else going on. I need to do some more tests. And so she took some more blood, and they came back in, and man, this doctor looked freaked. I mean, she tried to be super calm, but she was like, Mr. Hill, I need you to call your family to come back up here. And I'm like, what? I'm like, it's 2 o'clock in the morning and the roads are frozen. I'm not putting them out there. And she goes, no, I really need you to do this. It's not pneumonia. We think it's your heart. And we're going to have to bring you to take some more tests, and I need you to call your family. And so I think at that point, it hadn't dawned on me yet. I'm still thinking, well, that's ridiculous. If y'all going to run tests on me, why in the world would you want to drive me?
Why do my family have to be here? It's just tests.
Exactly. And so I'm laying there waiting for them to get prepped for me to do whatever I got to do. And I heard a conversation that was going on out in the hall, and it was between the nurse and the doctor. And the nurse goes, don't you have to get permission from the director to move him to ICU? And the doctor says, not in this case. He's tombstone.
Oh, wow. Wow, John.
And that word just kind of resonated, tombstone. I was like, am I dying? And so I laid there and kind of thought about it. I was like, man, if this is really the perfect situation, because it's like the thief on the cross, you know, I've done bad, but right now I can ask for forgiveness. And if I die,
oh man,
you know, I won't have messed up a bunch more times. I would just be going right to heaven, you know, because I truly believe that, you know, Jesus was what was going to get me to heaven. Right. And so, but I wouldn't have any more mess ups.
No more problems. No mistakes.
No more. And I really thought, okay, I've been praying for this. This is the perfect scenario. And so they're willing me to the ICU to do these tests. And I'm just thinking, well, you know what? If this is dying, it's really not that bad. I mean, I was, you know what? They got me breathing. They got oxygen pumping through me. I'll probably just fade away. I'll probably just go to sleep and it won't hurt. It won't nothing, you know? And then all of a sudden, like out of almost nowhere, it was like this voice took over in my mind. You know, it's not like I heard an audible voice, but it was so powerful, man. It was so like strong. And it was this, it was simple. Well, John, do you want to stay or do you want to go?
Okay, there we go. There we go. Okay.
I'm talking about that moment. I had to come into grips that I had the choice. Now, I'd been praying for 2 months that God would take me out. Mm-hmm. Here's my chance. But you know what? There was a louder voice that said, if you decide to stay, I'll be with you and I'll give you a purpose. So all I ever wanted in life was to have a purpose.
That's right. That's right.
And I said, all right. And I had to put some real thought into it. I was like, you know, if I leave right now, my daughters are going to miss me. I have two beautiful girls. They're grown now. They're living their lives. And I'm, you know, but I've not really touched many people. Mm-hmm. You know, there might be some people who would look back and go, oh man, John, he was a nice guy, man. Wasn't he nice? You know, or whatever. But I didn't have anybody that says, you know, John really made a difference in my life, you know? And so I was thinking, man, what if I really did have a purpose? And so I said, okay, God, here it is. And this was after about an hour because the cardiologist, their team had to come in through ice. So it was going to be a good hour before. Now, this is like a scene. This is like a scene out of a TV show, you know, like you've seen it. When the guys are standing behind the glass, they're all standing behind the glass watching. Well, they were prepping me for that, for the cardiologist to come in. And I mean, it's in the middle of the night. So everybody is gathered behind that glass watching me. I can see the concern on their eyes, man. They did not expect me to make it, you know, and I'm just sitting here still just trying to make my mind up. Am I staying or am I going? And I finally said this. I said, okay, God, I'd like to stay if that's okay with you. But I don't want to be the same guy. And I said, here's the three things that I want. I actually had thought through this. I was like, I want to be remembered for doing something good.
Right.
At this point, people may not even remember me at all. You know, and then I said, and God, I want to live every day. I don't want to just be alive. And then the third one was, I want to touch as many people as I can the rest of the time I'm on this planet. And all I can say is, like, I'm prepped in this room, right, getting ready for the cardiologist to come in and do the test. And it felt like this energy entered into this room. And is the loudest voice I heard so far, it was, so be it. And I could see into the spirit realm, it felt like he was dancing around my bed. That's what it felt like. Like he was like, that's my boy. You made a good choice. I'm going to be with you. And you do have a purpose. And so that was the moment. That was the moment that I said, what's my next step? Who am I going to be from here?
John, first of all, thank you for your service. Second of all, John, let me say this to you. You know, people, we hear stuff like that. We hear people testimonies like that. And sometimes when we're in the middle of things, we think we're the only ones who've ever felt that way or ones who've ever thought that way. John, I'll be 56 on December 5th. Earlier in my life, John, in my 20s, my 30s, I would pray to God the same thing. God, I'm just one mistake from making another mistake. That's how I felt. I felt that I was just one mistake from making another mistake.
Yep.
I would do good, and then I make a mistake, and oh man, I just unraveled everything I did. So the same way you felt, John, I felt that. So when you were speaking, I heard your voice, but I could see me. And there's so many people, John, who are listening and watching are the same. But whether they want to admit it or not, whether they care to admit it or not, John, who's admitting the same thing, that they feel that they are just one mistake away from making another mistake, because you feel that's all you're ever going to do. That's all you're good for. That's all you'll do every day of your life. And like you, John, I said, God, I just don't think I'm good enough for anything. I think, God, that if you put me in a good situation, I know I'll mess it up because that's what I'll do.
Exactly. How about,
and I even tried to commit suicide by taking pills. How about I go to the hospital and they pump them all out of my system? God wouldn't let it happen. He just let me go to sleep. Wouldn't let it happen. And I kept trying to do it. He wouldn't let it happen. And I said, God, why don't you just get rid of me? It'd be better. It's because like you, John, I did the same thing. I said, I'm going to take these pills. I said, or God, if you do it, then it's not suicide and I can repent and I'm good. I won't make you no more mistakes. I'll be good to go. So I've been exactly where you are. I know that feeling of loneliness, that dread that comes on you when you've like, man, I just, and people think that you're trying to be different and special. No, I just wanted a purpose. I just wanted to know a purpose. So, and like you, God said, well, since you're not going anywhere, what do you want to do next?
Yeah, that's right.
Since you're not going nowhere, what you want to do next? I want to do something that's going to impact people. I want to do something that's going to be bigger than myself. I want to do something that's going to be positive. And sometimes, John, that next step that we're looking to take, it comes, John, when we're shaky. We're still trying to figure out things ourselves. And I remember my grandson, I kid you not, I would see him trying to walk when he first started trying to, and you had two daughters, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. When they first start trying to walk, they don't know where to put the foot down or pick it up. They don't know which foot to use, the right foot or the left foot. Sometimes they try to put both feet down, and you sit, and you go, no, baby, put this one down, then that one, then this one, then that one. And sometimes that next step is so uncertain. Sometimes that next step that we have to take, there's no plan for it. There's no Google for it. You can't Google it. You can't plan it. You can't go to ChatGPT. You can't get AI to tell you. You don't know, because sometimes the next step isn't well thought out. It isn't planned. But you know, John, I can't stay right here. And there's some people listening that you know there's a next step, and you may not be certain of what it is, but you know, I can't stay right here. And like John, you may not be starting your next chapter with strength. The man just said he was in the hospital in the middle of an ice storm. He had prayed for 2 months to leave this world. His family just got called back up. He heard the doctor say the word tombstone. He wasn't starting from a place of strength. He wasn't starting from a place of, let me just tell everybody. No! Like John, I mean, John, you may be starting your next chapter, your next steps. You may not be starting them with strength. You may be starting it with more questions than answers. You may be starting it with doubt, with fear, with pain, louder than the confidence that you have. And John, I know what it's like to have pain speak to you louder than every confident bone in your body. You can look around, you can see your accomplishments, but the pain speaks louder than all the confidence you've ever heard. And you said, wait a minute, in church, man. I grew up in Pentecostal church, so I did too, John. Watch the folks jumping off the pews and all this running around the church, and you hear all these confident scriptures. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And you hear all these confidence things, and you are running and around and all confidence you had heard. And
yeah,
that is exactly where so many people lose themselves. Not because the next step rarely starts with uncertainty. And people say, oh, just take the next steps, but they don't tell you that sometimes that next step starts with uncertainty. It doesn't start with a lot of confidence. It doesn't start with people patting you on the back. It doesn't start with a lot of support. It doesn't start with claps and praises. It doesn't start with big social media posts. John, take us into that moment, if you will. Take us into that moment when your heart gave out and your whole world shifted. Because you just said the doctor said it was your heart and your whole world shifted. What questions were screaming the loudest? And how did you keep moving even when you had no guarantee? Because they just said the word tombstone. That's not a guarantee.
Yeah. Well, it's guaranteed one direction, man, if you look at it that way. But, you know, something amazing happened there by just having something inside me say, you have a purpose, John. And by God saying, I'm going to be with you. So let me tell you, when that doctor got there, he ran the stuff, you know, the dye up into my heart so he could see what was going on. I had one artery that was completely blocked. One artery that was 95% blocked, and you could just see a trickle going. Now, I had to stay awake for this whole thing. So he actually showed me on the screen that I had no blood going to half of my heart. And so he's like, I'm not sure if I can fix this with stents. I may have to crack you open. And I was like, you know, at that point, God said, so be it. I'm like, okay, do what you got to do. And so he went in there, put up three stents in there. And I'm telling you, everybody's still behind that glass watching. They're not expecting this to turn out well. He ran that dye back up in there, and it flowed through my whole body. You can see the blood returning to that part of the heart. Just erupt, like the crowd just erupted and just clapping and thanking, you know, and just like it was a really an amazing moment because they were so excited that I was still alive. They just couldn't believe it. But that left me with a damaged heart, congestive heart failure. And they had to put a pacemaker defibrillator in because over 40% of my heart was scar tissue. So you're talking about uncertainty. Now, I didn't walk out of that hospital with everything on the outside changing at all. Right. I'm still in a job that I didn't like. I still was broke. I still had the past that I had going in. And so, but now I have a complication that's even makes it even harder is that I'm functioning on a heart at about 25% of what a normal heart can function. So if you look at it, situation just got worse. You know, I could die any day. If I put too much effort, I can do too much, you know. And so you could like look at your future and go, man, this is, you know, this is even worse than when I started. But you know what I had going out of there was so profound to me. I have a purpose. That's all I knew. And I knew that up to this point, I hadn't figured life out. I hadn't figured out how am I going to be something, you know? And so I didn't have any other choice. God put me in this position where I did not have any other choice but to fully trust him. It was it.
Man. You know?
So I walked out of there. The next week I married my girlfriend. She's now been my wife for almost 15 years.
Congratulations.
But, yeah. We've been together almost 15 years now, but I got out of the hospital. I married my wife and I said, God, I need you to show me what I need to do because I can't come up with it. So I went through life, you know, yeah, lots of questions, but that underlying understanding that God had control changed everything.
Amen.
And absolutely. So, you know, it says in the Bible that there's a scripture that says we have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer we that lives
him,
but Christ that lives in us. And we live by faith in him.
Right.
The one that loved us and gave his life for us. And so I started really thinking about what happened that day. did I really decide to stay? Did I decide to live? And the truth of the matter is,
come on, man.
That guy died on the table.
Oh, come on.
Think about that, man. If I'm not making the decisions anymore, and if that old identity is dead, and it was crucified,
man,
then my new identity is Christ in me, not John figuring it out anymore. And so I walked out with absolute faith that I would know the next step when it was time. I didn't go too fast. I didn't try to do too much. I went right back where I was. I was working my job. I went out and I worked a job and I said, okay, Lord, who are we touching today? You know, I know there's something going to happen. And within 6 months, and there were times, you know, I mean, we were just eking by. I made $35,000 a year and I wasn't even that good at coupon selling. I wasn't good at it. So my job was barely eking us by. And so one day I was out talking to a plumber and was trying to sell him one of these coupons. And so he goes, you know, to do this whole market, I just don't have enough money by myself to do it. And this was a guy that's known in the community. Like he was a good guy. He goes,
okay,
but I know an electrician and I know a roofer that I trust completely that I would share an ad with. And so I said, okay, well, that'd be kind of weird on a coupon to have three different guys. I was like, what if y'all got together and like maybe we just build a website? You could be the plumber, that guy, electrician, and we can start pulling the good guys together. And then we can market them together as, you know, just one thing. So now everybody would come to this one place to find y'all, and y'all could pull all your money together and buy this coupon. And that's where I was in my head. And I was like, okay. And she was like, man, that's pretty amazing. That's a pretty good idea. And so I go back home. Now, listen, nobody had ever hired me to be a manager, let alone own a business. I had no understanding of business, and frankly, I'm just learning some stuff now. I mean, like it's like I started getting this download from God. It was like, John, this is yours. And I'm like, what do you mean this is mine?
What do you mean
this is mine? No, this is what you're supposed to do. And I was like, oh my gosh. Now I was selling coupons and I was in outside sales. So I could take this idea that God put in me and go out there and try to sell it while I was getting paid, right? That makes sense, right? But you know what it isn't? It isn't integrity. And it's not right. It was still in time for my company if I did that. And I said, okay, God, if this is you, I'm just gonna have to trust you. I walked into my boss's office and I said, man, I hate to do this to you, but I have an idea that I feel like I've got to go do. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I have to quit. This will be my last day. So, we had no money in the bank, no savings account. I had one check still coming to me, and that was it. No safety net. My wife worked, but there's no way she could have handled paying for everything on her own. You know, so most businesses start with money. Start with know-how. Start with financial backers. Start with coaches and all kinds of people coming together, right? And here I am, never done any of that stuff, and I'm starting a business. How's that work, right?
But, nothing in the pink.
So, you know, for the first few weeks, I walked out with a yellow legal pad and a pen, and I was drawing on this pad what the website was someday going to look like and how it would look if you brought all these good contractors together. And I just walked into these offices. People would recommend the next guy, you know, I want to be on the, if I want to be on a team, I want to be on the team with this guy. This is a good electrician. This is a good person, right? And so they started helping me get in front of these people. I didn't have a website. I had nothing but the vision God put in my head. I started going in and talking to these contractors, man. I've been in sales. You know how hard it is to get money from people? You know, even if you have something that is known, it's hard to sell. But I was walking in there and telling them my vision, and they were writing a check saying, I want to be there when you get there.
Wow.
And so I got to tell you, we just had our fourth 10-year contractor dinner, and there are some of those people that I sat down with 14 years ago. 14 years ago, man, that were at this dinner talking about how this guy just walks up in here, nothing. And they just felt like they had to do it. So I call that the favor of God. I'm like, you know, I'm being obedient in my life. I'm not trying to make my life happen. I'm not trying to live my best life. I am living my life because Christ lives in me, and every day is a good day. You know,
and absolutely the favor of God.
Yeah. And so that's how the Good Contractors List got started. It wasn't started by a business mind. And what's so funny is that along the way, and let me tell you, if you're listening to this and you grasp this and you're ready to get your life changed and you step out there, you're going to think everybody's going to support you. Don't look for that, man. Man's support is not going to be there. There's going to be some. There might be some. But yeah, there's always going to be that person who's like, no, I know who you are. You'll just give up on this in about a month and it'll be over. You'll be disappointing everybody just like you always had.
Or just say they support you and then they won't.
Yep. Exactly. You're friends. You know, even sometimes now it's funny. It's like we'll see somebody post something and going, hey, do y'all know a good electrician? I'm like, are you kidding me? I built a whole company around this stuff. Why are you looking on next door for an electrician? But I heard people say that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. Like that's the dumbest business plan I ever heard. And I'm like, well, it's not a business plan. I'm just doing what I feel like God wants me to do. Right. And so, along the way, I had people telling me this is not going to work. You're going to guarantee the work of contractors. That's never been done. Nobody does that. And you know why? Because nobody can trust.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Us contractors. That's why. And you're going to crash and burn before you even get out of the chutes. And that's what I heard going into this thing. But you know what I heard louder?
What?
I'm going to be with you and I'm going to give you a purpose. So that same loud voices every single day is there's one thing I know. He's with me for a purpose. And it ain't about me because I was ready to leave. I was ready to check out. It's about touching as many people as absolutely I possibly can while I'm on this planet. And if I don't live a life of integrity, if what I produce and build doesn't bring integrity, then I don't want it. You might as well just kick me out right now.
Absolutely. What you're doing now, John, is you're touching people with your story, with your authenticity. You're touching people with your truth. There, I told you when you were speaking, I was like, man, I hear his voice, but yeah, that was me. And if it touched one person, it touched other people. And I told you this before the show, you may have had an opportunity, John, to share your truth and your story 1,000 times, but there will always be a first time for somebody.
Yeah.
Always. So don't ever shy away from telling it, John, because it is always a first. And let me say this to somebody out there who's watching. Let me give you your public service announcement. You may think that you're, whatever you're dealing with, you may think that your next step may not be important because it's not in the spotlight. Let me help you out. Typically, your next step won't be the spotlight. Typically, your next step is going to take you somewhere out of the shadows, nowhere near the spotlight. It's going to take you nowhere near fame and fortune. That's what your next step is going to be. And a lot of times, because we're in the age of technology and social media, we can see the glamorous moments. We can see the glamour, but we don't see the process. We don't see the journey. We don't see the struggle. We don't see it's easier for somebody to put on makeup, for a woman to put on makeup and pop out and look gorgeous. It's easier for a man to put on his best suit, get his hair cut, and look fantastic. By the way, your hair looks great, John. It's easy to do that. Yeah, I know, right? It's easy to do that, but they never show you the steps it took to get there. I used to watch my grandmother cook. I did. I used to love watching her cook. She used to make these delicious cakes, John. My gosh, these delicious cakes. And I would just eat these cakes. And I would always ask her, Big Mama, make another cake. Big Mama, make another cake. And she's like, boy, I'm not making another cake. I'm like, make another cake. And she says, okay, I tell you what. You help me make the cake, and we'll make it. So I said, yeah, where's the cake? She goes, no. Go get the eggs at the refrigerator. Get the flour. Okay, go get the butter. Go get the bowl, get the mixer, get the little egg, the little beaters for that. Get the flavor, go get the flavor. And while you're at it, get the coconut too, because we're going to make a coconut cake. I said, why do we need all this? She said, no. We wanted a cake. Yeah. She said, this is what you have to do to make a cake. And so she put the flour, she measured the flour, she sifted the flour, put it in the bowl, and she put it in. I said, why are we sifting? What is sifting? She said, you have to sift it. She said, because what sifting does, it gets the lumps out. It prepares it to be baked. I said, okay. She said, okay, now you have to get this butter. Now the butter had to be pre-melted. I said, why is the butter going to be pre-melted? She said, because you want it at room temperature so that way it'll melt smoother and more evenly in the bowl. I said, okay. So then we add this. She said, now do you add the flavor in there? She said, yeah, now you add the flavor. And she said, now you got to get those eggs. I said, well, those eggs are raw. She said, yeah. She said, in order to make a cake, you're going to have to break these eggs and they're going to have to be raw. So we got them, we mixed it in there, and then she put it in the oven. I said, now how is it a cake? She said, no, it's not a cake yet. That's just the batter. And what a lot of us are dealing with, John, is the batter, and we think it's the cake. I said, okay, so what we do now? See, that you have poured it in this pan, and you got to put it in that oven at 450 degrees. I said, what? That's hot. She said, yeah. She said, if you want a cake, it's got to get hot. Mm. I know a lot of us, we're looking for that flash moment. We're looking for the cake already to be prepared in our lives. Mm. We're looking to be born, the cake on the table. But baby, if you want the cake, it's got to get hot. You got to let it get heated. Mm. You want to break some eggs. You want to do some stuff that will do to you. The next step is going to require something different. The next step is going to require something new. Here I was, 6 years old. She's teaching me how to bake a cake. It took stuff I didn't know. Maybe your next step is requiring you to do some stuff that you don't know anything about. Maybe it's requiring you to learn some things, to stretch yourself. You might need to get some mentors, learn some new classes, speak to somebody whose background is different than yours. But if you want to take the next step, sometimes it's got to get messy. There was flour all over the kitchen, John. There was eggshells. There was cake powder, cake batter all over. And here it is. I thought I was going to stay neat and clean. I had cake batter. I had flour all over my face. Sometimes the next step is messy. What you want to do, what you want to see in your life, going to get messy. John just said, he didn't have all the support. He said, I had no money in the bank. My wife was the only one working. I got a yellow pad, and I was writing down a website what it might be like. Sometimes you might have to sketch your own future. Yeah, let me say that for the people in the back. Sometimes you will always have people to support you. You might have to sketch your own future. There are people that's listening right now that somebody gave up on you. You gave up on yourself. But sometimes in your quiet time, you may have to go down and, yeah, it's going to sketch your own future. What are you doing? I'm sketching my future. Why are you always, I'm sketching my future? You want to give up on that idea. I'm sketching my future. You should quit. I'm sketching my future.
Come on. Woo. Man, you're going to have me running across the pews in a minute.
But that's what you were doing. You were sketching your future. Mm. Don't you have a website now? Don't you have a business now? You were okay. I'm not saying anything strange. You were sketching your future. You may be starting with something damaged. John said they put a stent in me. They had to give me this pacemaker. I left at a hospital. Things didn't change. Still didn't have money in the account. In John's word, I was broke. He said, I was still damaged when I left the hospital. You may be starting with something damaged, a damaged heart, relationship, career, a plan you held on to for years, a version of yourself you thought would last forever. Let me say this to everybody that has ever felt damaged. Whether someone said something, did something to you, and you feel damaged or damaged goods. Let me say this to you. Damaged doesn't mean done. Yeah, let me say it one last time. Damaged does not mean done.
Woo,
and this is the intersection of John's story and someone else's story who's listening right now, because comebacks, and I had to learn this personally, because comebacks don't have the luxury to be built on perfection. Yeah, I know we want to be like the movies where you come back and the crowd is cheering, but comebacks don't have the luxury to be built on perfection. John, what did rebuilding actually look like for you on the days when you didn't feel motivated or inspired or even strong?
Ooh, man, dude. I just gotta tell you, you're blowing my mind here. I'm telling you, this it did not happen fast, and it did not happen with me knowing anything. So I tell you, when I say I listened to God, that's all I had, man. Matter of fact, I actually even wrote a book. I give away for free to my contractors and stuff like that, just so they can know the story. And it's called Loving God Without All the Answers, because, man, we don't have all the answers. And there's not a soul on this planet that has all the answers. But you know who does have the right answers? God has the answers. And so when I walked out every day, motivated or not, I just moved. You know, there's a scene in one of my grandkids love watching movies. And one of those movies is called Finding Nemo. And there's a scene in there where this fish says this thing over and over and over. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. It's like, just keep moving. Just keep moving. And that's where, you know, I was just like, all I have to do is let him live through me. I live and I move and I have my being in him, right? And so I would listen every day to what he was, what my heart was saying. And so I just went out. I just kept moving. I just kept talking. I just kept sharing the vision. And that's one of there's a lot of things in business that are supposed to happen. Well, I didn't have any of that stuff. So I built a model, and this is what's blowing my mind right now, because I'm really just seeing it. Because I was in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for all the 13 years before I ever met my first business person that I truly brought in here. And so it took me about 2 years of going out and sitting and talking with contractors, sharing the vision. And, you know, I was saying, listen, my idea is I want to spend $50,000 a month on advertising. And that's what in Dallas-Fort Worth, that was the goal, was to do advertising. But when I was out there talking to contractors and, you know, like I sold stuff all the time. And I started hearing something from contractors that made me like think about, like it took me in a different direction than anything. I would start telling them about what I was trying to do, that I'm trying to separate the good guys from the bad guys.
And
before they ever even joined, like I was sitting there talking to them, they would start telling me, oh, you need to talk to so-and-so. That guy's a good landscaper. That guy, you know, you haven't even joined my group yet. Like, you know, like it was never about sales for me. It was about this vision of how could we separate the good guys from the bad guys so homeowners don't end up getting messed over, right? Because contracting by itself, like all those guys, those naysayers that says, man, you're going to crash and burn. You can't guarantee a contractor, let alone all of them, you know? And so, you know, it was just the opposite business plan. I was going to limit, listen to this business plan. I'm going to limit how many people can buy from me. And okay. I'm going to put a guarantee on their work. And if they don't do what they're supposed to, I'll pay for it out of my own pocket.
Oh, wow.
That's a business plan. Why people were going, John, that's not a business plan. That's crazy. That's nuts.
It's a disaster, man. What are you talking about?
It's a disaster. But what happened was these contractors started saying, if that guy's on this list, I don't want to be on it. Because they knew who the bad guys in town were, right? And matter of fact, I'm a plumber, but I know another plumber that's, you know, over here that I'd love to be on this list because I trust him. I think I'd hand my work to him. And so they started referring each other. And, and so the good guy and more good guys. And so next thing you know, I'm just going from one to, I never had to get on the phone and start cold calling and trying to sell somebody something. They saw it. They caught the vision. And that's what God has given me, this ability to just whatever he's giving me to just vocalize it. And that's what I've been doing, you know, for a long time. And so I didn't really realize how much I didn't know about business until this last year. I really didn't. So people would come to me and go, John, why aren't you going national with this? Why are you just here in Dallas Fort Worth? You know, and I built a very successful model, and it was running so smoothly, I didn't have to do anything. You know, we guarantee every job that our contractors do with a $25,000 guarantee. I'm putting that. See this logo back here? It's got a halo on it, and it says good. I had a TV ads, radio ads talking about good contractors. I'm guaranteeing their work. We've backed over now $5 billion in work.
Billion with a B.
Billion with a B. And we've come out of pocket so far at $127,000 in 14 years. I mean, I didn't crash and burn. As a matter of fact, what we found something, that there's good people out there. And if the good people are banded together, guess what happens?
Uh-huh.
Homeowners are protected, right?
Right.
We're out here out in front, and we're good. Don't you know that if in 14 years I didn't do what I said I was going to do, and this company didn't do what it said it was going to do, that we would have been smeared across social media, whatever, as thieves or whatever, right? And there's still some people out there, you know, that I'll be telling them about it, and they're just used to it. Oh, y'all are just a gimmick. You're just about taking money from contractors. You're just about, you know, and they label it because that's the way it's always been.
Always been.
But what I found now, okay, so last year, I felt like God said, you're going to sell this. At the beginning of 2024, you're going to sell the good contractors. So I was like, what? What does that mean? Like, I didn't catch his drift. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay, well, how much am I supposed to sell it for? What am I supposed to do? And as soon as you start asking those questions, it's like, never mind. I was like, never mind. You got it. I'm not going to go looking for it. If it happens, it's because you made it happen. And so by the end of the year, somewhere around September, October, my web designer, who is in Pakistan, catch this. How many millions of web designers are there in the world? a guy in California who was familiar with all these contract resources, Home Advisor, Angie's List. Like he's worked with the corporate people and all these things, right? He decides, man, you know, things are going the wrong direction with them. I truly think I could create something better than that. And in California, I'm in Dallas, Fort Worth. Nobody's ever heard of me in California. He goes out and starts looking for a web designer. He ends up talking to the one web designer in the world that it was my web designer.
Wow.
He starts explaining what he wants to do. And my web designer in Pakistan says, hey, there's a guy in Dallas kind of doing this. Do you want me to introduce you? I mean, the chances of getting struck by lightning is greater than this guy stumbling on a web designer in Pakistan that brings him to me, right?
Perfect.
Well, for many years, you know, people would say, John, what are you doing? Are you going to go national? What are you going to do next? And my answer was, I feel like Moses out in the desert. Right. I haven't heard from God about this yet. I don't know what I'm supposed to do beyond this. This is right here. Now, keep in mind, I've been sick since before. Like I left the hospital broken. Right. Not just broke, but I was broken.
Wow.
And so in 2022, one of the biggest miracles in my life happened. And I ended up getting a heart transplant. And so, my heart finally gave out to the point that it wasn't going to work anymore. And I want to tell you about this because it's interesting, because God speaks to us in so many different ways. If we're listening, if we're looking for it, God directs us, that inner feeling in the heart, but sometimes he's overt about it. He puts it out right in the open and he makes it clear. I found that I ended up kind of funny, but meeting the family of the donor. You know, you can try to write each other through this third party resource, right? And I wrote the letter. It got sent off. They didn't respond. It was like 9 months since I sent the letter. I figured they just didn't want to meet. You know, because a lot of people don't want to even think about it, right? Well, 9 months later, they got the letter somehow. Like it took forever, but they got it. And then they tried to write back. And I was on vacation. I came back home to a letter that kind of gave enough information that my wife jumped on Facebook and started looking for, they gave away their last name, you know, somehow they found out, or the town, or I can't remember exactly what it was, but she put it all together. And with a few minutes, we found them.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Reach out through Facebook Messenger. And next thing you know, I'm coming out to meet them. Right. Wonderful family. I mean, wonderful. And I went, my wife and I went out to meet, and my daughter went out to meet the family. And their last name, listen to this, their last name is Wachal. That's W-A-C-H-A-L, Wachal.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, God, what does that mean? And I looked it up. You can Google it right now. Look it up. Wachal is Bohemian for watchman. Watchmen. And you know what the man's name was? It was their son. He had died of a brain aneurysm. His first name was Christian.
Wow. Christian Watchman.
I literally have the heart of Christian Watchman. Like it was just further solidifying that God is in this and he has a purpose. I couldn't have made that up.
No, you couldn't. You couldn't have written a script, a movie script, or a TV script that did this like that. You couldn't.
No way. There's no way. And so, wonderful people. I know. You know, it's probably one of the most emotional times in my life.
I can imagine.
When I brought a stethoscope and let him listen to his heart. You know.
Oh, dude, that's so cool. That's so cool.
They were so happy because they knew that their son's heart lived through me, and that everything that I did for the kingdom, that they were Christians.
Wow.
For the people of this world, that their son was being a part of it.
He's a part of it. Exactly. He's right there
front and center, part of everything that you're doing.
Yeah. So I have a purpose, man. And I walked out of that situation going, I'm never going to let this guy down.
Right.
I'm going to continue to follow God. God's got me. He's got my next steps. I've got this. And even though I'd kind of become, it was running so smooth, I really didn't have to do anything anymore. Like, all the contractors were taking care of business. They were all doing the right things, you know? And so things were so smooth. I'm like, what's the next step, God? What is the next step? And I'm like, you've pasted this vision. And now you're saying, I'm going to sell it. So toward the end of the year, I meet my first executive. And this is why I was like, you know, I didn't know how little I knew about business until God brought me a real businessman that's been doing it for a long time, right? He comes in and is like, John, we got to do something about these contractors. There's nothing legally binding about your contract. I said, I know. I wrote it out in Word, you know, back when I first started this because I needed to collect information. It wasn't about a contract. You know, it was about, I gotta know what I gotta put on the website. I gotta know what their name is. I gotta know the business name and their phone number and all that stuff. You know, so it was necessity that created all those things. And now he's going, John, okay, we gotta do something here. Now, in that time that I was out there, I kept saying, I feel like Moses out in the desert. Now, if anybody knows this story about Moses, you know, he tried to take matters into his own hands when he was young. As soon as he found out he had a calling on his life, right? He tried to take things into his own hands and do it in his own strength, and he got burnt. He got to get out of town. He went out of town and for 40 years set out in a desert going, what happened to my vision? What about that big plan you talked about, God? What?
Come on,
what am I supposed to do here? And one day he's out there watching the sheep, feeling like, okay, well, I guess is this it? This is it. Okay. He sees something. Is a bush out there, and it's on fire, but it's not being consumed. It's like, that's interesting. Let me take a closer look. So he moves closer to the fire. Right, we're talking about getting on fire. Right, he starts heading to the fire. I gotta see this. How's this thing not getting burned up? And then God speaks from the fire. He speaks from the burning bush. And he says, kick off your shoes, man. You're on holy ground. You know, you're on holy ground. And so now he's standing there with God speaking to him. God says, I want you to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Four words. Let my people go. You know what Moses says? Oh, man, God, I'm not that good at talking.
I'm not that good, bro. I'm not that good.
I can't. Right? Like, you know, and so instead of going, Moses, I'm God, I'll make you talk. He says, no, I'm going to give you somebody. Do you remember who that person was?
Yeah, I'm getting Aaron. Get your brother.
His brother Aaron, right? You know, Christian Watchman, the man from California that found me through my web designer in Pakistan, his name, and he's Jewish, by the way.
Uh-huh.
His name is Aaron Bush.
So, wait a minute. What a minute, John. Hold on. So, Moses, it gets an Aaron. And so you say, well, God, I don't know anything about business. I don't know anything about doing all this stuff. You talking about selling this business and doing all this stuff, stepping into an arena, God, I know nothing about. So Moses had an Aaron. God sends you an Aaron.
He not only sends me an Aaron, he sends me an Aaron Bush. Those two things, it was the burning bush and Aaron that moved Moses out of the desert and into his destiny, right? So I was like, okay, God, I don't know how this looks, but this is it. This is the one I've been waiting for. This is how we touch more people in the world. This is it. Now's the time. Now, I'd gotten healthy by then. I'm back in the gym. I'm feeling good. I don't have cloudy thoughts anymore because my heart's functioning at a full pace now. But it's better than any part of my body. It's the youngest part of my body, is my heart. You know, it's 20 years, 25 years younger than me.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And so here it is. Now I have to listen to a businessman. And this is one of these right here. Because I'm the guy that says, I got the thought, we gotta go do it. And now I have a businessman saying, you can't just go do it. Like, I would go do it, and there'd be fallout that I'd have to figure out how to catch
it out. Right?
Well, now he's like, no, if this is going to grow, we got to have the right processes in place. So right. I'm a small company out here in Dallas, Fort Worth. He comes in, and then all of a sudden, two other people come in that are used to being paid. Matter of fact, one guy turned down a job that was going to guarantee him $350,000 a year, with it more than likely looking like $500,000 a year. And he turned down that job because he saw this and says, no, I would rather start there. Whatever he's got is so different. I want to start there. And then a guy who has been a part of our organization as a contractor, who owns a large contracting company out here, had been trying to get me into going national for years. He comes and says, I'm going to come work for you for free just so that I can be there at the end of this thing. And I want just a part of your business, and I'm going to earn it. You're not going to pay me to be here. So I've got three executives that together are used to making more than my whole company brought in a year.
Wow.
So it's like, this just doesn't happen, man.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So
the reason I'm here is because, you know, I was Dallas, Fort Worth. I couldn't really tell the story. I really couldn't tell the story behind the Good Contractors List because it was so in such a small little area. If it got out to, you know, Florida, there's nobody doing contracting work in Florida. I'm not able to do anything there.
Right.
Yeah. But in this last year, we built the infrastructure. And three months ago, we decided, you know what? This is more than a company. This is a movement. This is a movement because what we've created is the anti-business.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
For contractors, it's really inexpensive to be a part of it, and I never ask for more. Right? We separate them from the bad guys, and they work together to build this thing, and we're not gonna have to market, you know, the way that most people market, because it's a movement, because it's right. A community. It's a community. Word, and so instead of them having to buy more and more leads, which is what most companies do with contractors, they try to sell them leads, and they try to sell them to everybody, and they try to sell as much as possible because that's how you make money. And what I've created is you pay a one monthly membership fee to be a part of this organization. And now you've got a community. Listen to this. It's never been done before. It's so crazy. And God did it. We built a community-based lead ecosystem.
Wow.
So the good guys support each other.
Yes.
They get homeowners to register, and they tell homeowners, go here and make sure you don't use contractors that aren't on this list.
Wow.
Think about that. They don't have to buy leads anymore. I call it collective authority. They come together as a collective, and the collective makes sure that nobody that is in this collective that's going to cost them a reputation, right? So we all work together to do good, to not just do good. Tell me something good, man. Tell me something good.
Yep.
This is good, right? It costs the contractor no more money. Homeowners get protected. The group protects the group. They become a collective authority. Next thing you know, homeowners are coming to the Good Contractors List to find their contractors instead of Google, right? They don't have protection at Google. They don't have protection at Angie's List. They don't have protection anywhere. But if they go to the Good Contractors List, they're not only protected, they're guaranteed. I have a $25,000 guarantee on every one of their jobs. So even if the contractor ends up bad, we kick them out. We pay to get it fixed. And most of the time, the contractors come all rally and they fix the problem themselves, where the customer never has to pay a dime more. Like, think about how That's what this is about.
Gonna,
so it's a movement.
That's gonna bring so. That's gonna bring so much peace of mind to people who take advantage and use your business. We were talking about John. We were talking about those next steps, how shaky they can be. So I felt like Moses out there in the desert, not knowing where I'm going to go. I'm supposed to be doing something. I don't know. But then you give me these instructions, but I don't know all about that. But the next step, though, John, is never about impressing somebody. I heard you mention earlier on when we first started, you performance-based. Everything was performance-based. The next step is never about impressing anybody. It's not about applause. It's not about the Instagram post. It's not about being fearless. It's not about being with. It's all really, really about is being willing. You must be willing to step forward when you are scared. You must step forward when you are hurt. You must step forward when every part of you wants to quit. And that's really when the transformation really begins. The steps that you don't want to take are the ones that will set you free. I heard you say this earlier, John. You said it's always been, because things have always been that way. And I wrote this down. What's always been doesn't always have to be. Let me say that again. For somebody, what's always, you may be feeling like, well, it's always be this way. No, it doesn't have to be. What's always been doesn't always have to be. Not in the moment that you feel ready. It's going to come when you don't feel ready, but in the moment that you step away. Looking back now, John, what was the one step, the one quiet, hidden, uncelebrated step, the moment that you truly shifted your life, the one that nobody saw, but changed everything? Was it the one when you were in the hospital? What was that one step? And what is something that you would say to somebody today, right now, to encourage them about taking the next step?
Okay. I think I can wrap this all up in one word: identity.
Mm.
Because we all think we know who we are, right?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
You know, I'm a good father. I'm a good businessman. I'm, you know, whatever. The world is having an identity crisis right now. It's probably the worst it's ever been. Because now we're even talking about, you know, I don't want to go into too many things, but there's an identity crisis going on. You know, when you can say, I'm a conservative Republican, that's what my identity is. You're on shaky ground, man. Conservative Republican is not where your identity needs to be, you know? Or I'm a liberal. You're on shaky ground. That's not where your identity needs to be, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, without being too religious or too preachy, dying to self is the key to everything. And
absolutely.
Truly wanting, I mean, wanting his will to be done, no matter what that looks like. Because I didn't know what, I didn't think I was going to, oh, I got out of the hospital and all of a sudden, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to create a contractor resource like nothing else in the world. And then I'm going to go out and, no, I had no idea. I didn't know if, you know what, I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to end up on the street and whatever, you know, I didn't know which direction was going to go. But here's the cool thing, man. If you know God has your purpose and your identity's in him, you can go anywhere. Money doesn't affect you. This company does not own me. I was bought with a price. So something greater than this company owns me.
So you already paid for.
Can you hear me? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Something greater than myself owns me. I can trust that he's going to do with his possession what he needs to do. And you know what you got to do? You got to let it happen. So if you're listening right now.
There you go.
If you're listening right now and your life is a mess, you're tired of trying to control things, you're trying to control people, your future, your path, none of that matters.
Come on, man.
What matters is this instant, this moment of life where you can choose to say, this ain't about me. This is not about me. This is about what my purpose is on this planet. This is, and my purpose is in line with His will. So if you can give yourself and say, you know what, God, I don't understand where I'm at right now. I do not get it. I've tried to be this. I tried to be that. I try to be a good person. There's none of us in our personal flesh identity that's good. None of us. There will be plenty of people who try to make you feel like they're better than you. But you know what? When Christ lives on the inside of you, there's no person better than anybody else. He's the great one. He's the one, right? And every one of us plays a part in a body. We play a part in a body. I might be the mouthpiece. I get a platform where I can speak, right? Somebody else, and it says even the uncomely parts, right?
Fingernail.
Are the most important.
Yeah.
Like, it's who you... Listen, we don't know what we're doing every day. You know, I might think because I get on TV and a million people hear me that I'm affecting a lot of people. But do you know that one act of obedience could lead to multiple millions of people finding Christ, getting saved, just because you were obedient? You may not ever see it. But one thing leads to another thing, leads to another thing. And God is managing this chaos to bring as many people to Him as possible. And I truly believe that. Like, He's looking at this chaotic world, and He goes, there's somebody who'll listen to me. So if you're listening right now, the first step is to say, God, my identity is not who I want to be. This flesh identity isn't who I want to be. Forgive me for putting my faith in me.
Mm.
Forgive me.
Come on, man.
For falling short, and that's what sin is. It's just falling short of perfect. And there's not one of us who doesn't fall short of perfect.
Every day. Every day.
So, you know, growing up in that place where I thought I was the one who had to be righteous,
mm-hmm.
was a bad place. I can't be righteous. No matter how good things look, I can't. Jesus is the righteousness. Jesus. If we ask Him, put our full faith in Him and say, I want you to take over my life.
Absolutely, man.
And truly mean it. Not, I want you to jump on board and help me do what I want to do. No. It's bigger than that. I want you to come live in me and show me who I am. Right? Whatever I identified as before, it's gone.
Absolutely.
You're my identity. So that's my, that if anyone can hear me, let Christ lead you. Come to this place. Ask for the forgiveness of trying to control your own life. Listen, call out to Him. I need you. I want you. And I want you to control my life from here on out. And that's the key to it all. And then listen, obey, and move. And that's what we do. We listen, obey, and move.
God, listen, I told you at the beginning of this show, I said, this is going to be a great episode. And I know, John, I know you got to get out of here, but I know the Good Contractors, you guys are based in Dallas, right?
Yes, sir.
How can people reach out to you guys and contact you guys and they want your service? How can they reach out to you?
Well, it's real simple. And I want to say that for us to be able to do what God has really envisioned for us to do, it's a movement and we need everybody involved. So homeowners need to get involved. To have a list that's safe, we need everybody involved. So homeowners, if you go to thegoodcontractorslist.com, that's thegoodcontractorslist.com. You can go there and refer a contractor. If you know someone who is the kind of guy that can sleep at night because he did the right thing, those are the kind of contractors we're looking for. And if you're a contractor by chance listening to this, you can also go to thegoodcontractorslist.com and go to become a good contractor where you can see what it is. And what we're trying to do is bring is build communities across the nation. We call them safe contractor communities. And so with all of them working together, getting homeowners registered, bringing on the good guys, it won't take very long. I promise you. It's just a, it just took a few weeks whenever I first started. I didn't even have a website, but people saw the importance of what we were doing. And so this is a movement. Share this podcast. This podcast is important. Please share this podcast with all your friends. If you know a good contractor, if you know people who work with contractors, get this into their hands so that they can understand that this is not about business. This isn't about collecting more from them. This is about giving them more so that we can protect everyone. And homeowners, man, I so appreciate it when they call out the one that isn't doing what they're supposed to do, because it alerts us. And so together as a community, we can make a difference in the world. And this message of letting yourself trust in God is the big thing. I mean, because this is the message that everyone needs to hear.
Hey, this is the website right here, guys. TheGoodContractorsList.com. This is the website right here. Here it is, right there. And look, I just put in my zip code. Yeah, so none yet here, but we hope you get here.
Yeah,
here, get here, John.
Man,
get here.
I will get there. You know, we're gonna get there, and but it, like I said, it's a movement. It's gonna have to move through people. It's gonna have to be built by community, not by us going out and selling. Hey, how many more leads do you want? That isn't it.
Absolutely.
We give everybody what they want. Contractors get what they want. Homeowners get what they want, and then we get to tell this story, this amazing story, Travis. Yeah,
guys, listen. I told you from the beginning that this is going to be a great episode, that you're going to be glad that you tuned in. John, let me take this moment to tell you thank you so much for joining the show. Thank you for telling everybody to share the episode and share the show. Guys, every Thursday, man, we're here. I'm so glad, John. Give me a couple of seconds, John. Let me get everybody out of here, and then I'll get you out of here, guys. Give John a hand clap, guys, for being here. Thank you.
Thank you.
For being here. Man, listen, your next step may look small. It may look uncertain. It may look unsteady, but it's still movement, because even very small steps can cover great distances. You're not meant to stay where life broke you. You're meant to rise, rebuild, and reclaim one step at a time. And this right here, this is your moment. This is your moment to choose who you're going to be next. Guys, I want you to do me a favor. If this episode pushed something awake in you, don't just listen, respond. Take one concrete step today. Send that message. You might need to send a message to somebody. Maybe your next step is sending somebody the message they need to hear. Make the call, schedule the appointment, start the plan, ask for help. Do the thing you've been putting off because fear was louder. And if this conversation helped you see your own story clearer, share this episode with someone who's standing at their next step right now, who's standing at the precipice of something. Let them know that they are not stepping alone. Yeah, sometimes that next step can be hard, but that next step is always worth it. I'll say that again. Sometimes the next step can be hard, but the next step is definitely worth it. Guys, I got to get out of here. But as always, and pardon, it's been a real blast. Don't forget to tune in right here every Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, to listen to the show or you can stream it on your favorite listening platform like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, and so many more. I gotta get out of here, guys, but it's always imparting. If you're gonna tell me something, then tell me something good. I'm out of here, y'all. I gotta go. Peace.
Isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.